Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
I'm going to talk to you about examples of Bible characters who showed strong allegiance and devotion to God. Examples of Bible characters who showed strong allegiance and devotion to God, right? And we want to look at 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20 to 21. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20 to 21. And I'm reading from the Good News Translation. It says, throughout all Judah, King Hezekiah did what was right and what was pleasing to the Lord his God. Then it says he was successful because everything he did for the temple or in observance of the law, he did in a spirit of complete loyalty and devotion to his God. Now, you can also use the word allegiance. So you can say that whatever he did in relation to his God, he did it in a spirit of allegiance and devotion to his God. Hallelujah. Now, that word allegiance means steadfast faithfulness to a person, group, cause, or country. Steadfast faithfulness to a person, group, cause, or country. That's what allegiance is. So, when you're faithful towards somebody and it is very steadfast, that's what we mean by allegiance. And your allegiance can be to a person. So you can have a strong allegiance towards your boss, towards your spouse, you know, towards your friend. You can also have it towards a group, like your political party. You can have a steadfast faithfulness to that political party or to a cause. You can have allegiance towards a cause. For example, there are some people who have a strong allegiance towards recovering all loot. All right? It's called ORAL, Operation Recover All Loot. I listened to our current Minister of Foreign Affairs being vetted, and this ORAL business was one of the major things that he was grilled on. And you can't hear him talk. You can't listen to him talk without concluding that this guy, he really believes in the thing. And that's what allegiance is. It can be a steadfast faithfulness to a cause or to a country. All right? There are some people who are very patriotic. And when you are patriotic, what it means is that you have allegiance towards your country. I think that, unfortunately, you know, patriotism is going down in our country. You know, unfortunately. It's something that is going down. And many people don't really care much about the country. In fact, a lot of people, if they have an opportunity, they will leave the country. Now, let me ask you, how many of you, when you get an opportunity, you like to go to Europe or America? Can you lift up your hands for me to see? The church is finished. Totally finished. Even the little children, if they understood, they would have lifted their hands up. So where's the patriotism? It's gone down the drain. You go and come. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, so that's what allegiance is. And then devotion is a strong feeling of love or dedication towards someone or something. A strong feeling of love or dedication towards someone or something. So when there's somebody in your life that you have a strong feeling of love toward, it means that you are devoted to the person. Hallelujah. Or if there is something that you have a strong love for. So I spent the most part of today on a farm. I went to see the farm of a certain gentleman, and he's been into farming, you know, for many, many years. He has 26 acres of mangoes. Now, an acre is 4 plots, so do the calculation and see. And he's preparing his ground to plant maize, and that is going on to 150 acres of maize. Now, I was wooed by it, but then he decided to take me and my friend to show us somebody else who has 1,000 acres of maize, and it's fantastic. When you get to the farm, what you see, for those of you who have traveled before, at least you've seen pictures of farmlands in America, Europe, and all of it. That's exactly what it is. Neatly arranged. When we went there, they were irrigating the land. He has huge irrigation machines. He has probably about 10 of them. Each one cost $1.4 million. Yeah. $1.4 million. That's how many. He has about 10 of them. These are huge machines, very long, and it moves around in a circle, watering the maize. I mean, beautiful. But you see, from the time that I spent with this gentleman, I realized that he has a strong love for farming. A strong love for farming. And he's doing it because it is his passion. That's what devotion is all about. Hallelujah. I was explaining to us that if you are serious about farming, you can't be far away somewhere and you have a farm, some other place be, and you don't spend a lot of time there. If you're really committed to what you're doing, which is another aspect of devotion, you will spend a lot of time there. Hallelujah. So that's what allegiance and devotion mean. And this King Hezekiah, he had strong allegiance and devotion to God. And I need you to understand that you can never give your best to the Lord, because that is our theme for the year, unless you have a strong allegiance and devotion towards Him. And I think that this probably is what is most needed if you're going to give your best to God and if you're going to serve Him well and all of that. To have a strong allegiance and devotion towards Him. Because if you do, you give Him your life, you give Him your heart, you give Him your zeal, you give Him your resources, you give Him your time, and all of that. Just from this point of, I feel so strongly about God. Because when you feel so strongly about somebody, there's nothing too much for you to give in order to develop your relationship with that person. Is that not the case? Yeah. So it is important. And Hezekiah is not the only person who demonstrated strong allegiance and devotion to God. We spoke about others. We spoke about Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus had a strong allegiance and devotion to the Father. And that is why He lived the way He lived. And He operated the way He operated. And at a point He said that my meat is to do the will of He who sent me and to finish it. Now, it is only somebody who has a strong allegiance and devotion to another person who can talk in this way. And when Jesus, you know, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was contemplating whether to go ahead with the Father's plan. Because remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed and was asking the Father that if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. He was referring to the cup of suffering. Now, that prayer that He prayed was an appeal to the Father that I wish You can change the plan, because I understand the plan. But now that it is unfolding, it is such a terrible thing for anybody to go through. But He stabilized Himself and said, not my will, but your will be done. Why did he talk like that? Why could he say this? Why could he surrender himself in this way? It is because he had a strong allegiance and devotion to the Father. So what we learn from this and from Jesus is that in giving our best to the Lord through our allegiance and devotion to him, we must seek to do his will for our lives. We must seek to do his will for our lives. That's one of the clear signs that we have this steadfast faithfulness and devotion to God. When you have it, you want what he wants, and you wish to see what he wants done and fulfilled and accomplished in your life. Hallelujah. Then we moved on to look at another example of somebody who showed allegiance and devotion to God. We talked about Noah. All right, we talked about Noah. That's a good example. Now, it says, put it up, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. And that's my prayer for you, that you will find favor with the Lord. Hallelujah. I keep explaining to you, my friends, that favor makes all the difference in this life. It makes all the difference. And if you obtain favor, it can take you from low down there to a position that you can only dream about because of favor. And this year, may God extend his favor to you, and may he deal graciously with you in the mighty name of Jesus. It says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Now, the next thing that it says is that Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. We don't know how many people were living on the earth at the time. But what we know is what the Bible is telling us, that Noah was the only, was a righteous man, and he was the only. What it means is that his wife, his three sons and their wives were not blameless. They were to blame, and they had issues. But you see, because of a certain favor that Noah found, it extended to his family and the people around him. Hallelujah. And I've given you this advice before, and I'm reiterating it, that don't be too, let me put it this way, don't allow what somebody else is not doing to affect what you should do. Don't allow the wrong thing that somebody is doing to affect the good that you're doing. Just keep your focus, because it comes with a reward. Sometimes you take families and you realize that there can just be one person in the family who is very committed and very devoted to God. Everybody else is not. So that one person looks very odd. But that one person shouldn't change because of how the others are. Because there are times when you come under so much pressure from others who are not like you, and you feel like becoming like them. And you can see that even though everybody else was some way, Noah was very committed to God and had a strong allegiance and devotion towards God. Everybody else was some way. And they were so some way that God made up his mind to destroy every living person and thing. That's how bad they were. But there was only one person who was blameless. And it was like this one person had taken a stance that I will stand for God. I will be righteous. I will not change, even though I am under a lot of pressure. I will not stop being committed to God, even though everybody around me is not committed to God. And the lesson that we learn from Noah is that in giving our best to the Lord through our allegiance and devotion to Him, even if we are in the minority, we should still endeavor to stand for Him. I'll say that again. In giving our best to the Lord through our allegiance and devotion to Him, even if we are in the minority, we should still endeavor to stand for Him. That shows that we have a strong allegiance and devotion towards God. And I tell you, folks, it is something that happens and you may experience in your life. You may work at a place. Nobody takes God seriously. Everybody, you know, in some way, it shows in the sort of things that they talk about, in how they behave, the stupid jokes that they crack, the profane conversations that take place there. Everybody is corrupt. And it's like you are the only one who is doing the right thing. I don't understand. You've been employed in an organization and you are paid a salary for the work that you do there. Why is it that when I come to your office and I need a service from you, which is connected to the reason why you were employed and you are earning a salary in that office, why do I have to tip you? Why do I have to grease your palm before you do what you have been employed and you are earning a salary on? It's fantastic. And it gets to a place where if you want anything done, you have to tip somebody. You have to let go of some money. So if you're a Christian and you're working in an organization like that, you got to look at what is happening. And this is what you must tell yourself, that my allegiance and devotion is to God. I can see that everybody else, including my boss, is very corrupt. But I won't bend. I won't yield. I know that God expects that whatever I do, wherever I do it, I must do it as if it is unto Him. And you decide that I'm in the minority. You may be in a school. Everybody else is some way. Everyone in your class has a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And you know that they are doing things. At the point they are even mocking you and ridiculing you because you are not like them. They start calling you names. Are you the only one who Madam Spirit? Have you seen that you are getting old? There's nobody squeezing anything. So, yeah, look at you. They say all sorts of things. And you come under a lot of pressure to become like them. But our allegiance and devotion to God must be that if I am the only person, I'm just going to stick with Him. Yes, I'm the minority. But I'm going to stick with Him. And I'm going to do my best for Him. In a church like this, during a weekday service or prayer meeting, you find out the majority of church members are not around. I have noticed people who were coming for evening services like this, but they don't come anymore. And for some of them, I feel that they've caught the virus. All right? Because if your allegiance and devotion to God and to the house of God and to the things of God is not strong, when you come and you realize that most church members are not here,
the teacher said that, hey, it looks like this thing, me, I seem to have taken it very seriously. I've carried it to the World Cup level. It's okay.
And some of the people, they live around here. Me, I'm coming all the way from Bechele Bampa. Hey, baby, out in here for us, eh? Samuel. Sanko. What is Bechele Sanko?
Yeah.
Is it a very far place?
Very, very far. Yeah. I said, ah, what nonsense is this? As you come all the way from Bechele Sanko.
And then there are people here at Afienya Ablekuma. That's the name of the area where the church is. There are people who live at Matahiko. There are some people who live at Afienya and all of these things. There are some people who live at Greenstone. And they can't come. I should come all the way from Bechele. I'm come again. Minjimiye. But as soon as you get to that place, what's happened is that you've allowed yourself to be affected such that the good thing that you're supposed to be doing, you don't want to do it anymore. Why? Because you feel that you are in the minority. We should move beyond that. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. The next example of somebody who showed strong allegiance and devotion to God is Abraham. We talked about it. And we saw that when God asked him to sacrifice his son, he went ahead and was actually going to do it till God stopped him. And God said to him that, now I know that you fear me. That means you hold me in high reverence. That means that your allegiance and devotion to me is extreme. That you were ready to sacrifice your son, your beloved son, for me. Because of that, God said, I told you before that I will bless you. Now I swear. I swear that in blessing, I will bless you indeed. Because God could see that the guy's devotion and allegiance to him was very extreme. So extreme was it that he was ready to sacrifice anything for God. And if we talk about giving our best to the Lord, if we talk about giving him our allegiance and devotion, then we all need to get to the place where we are prepared to sacrifice anything for him. Now that's a very difficult one. That's a very difficult one. And let me say this to you, that have you noticed that of all the great heroes in the Bible, it was only Abraham that God said to him, sacrifice your son. Now, that thing that Abraham did was a type of what God himself was going to do through Christ Jesus. The difference was that Jesus was actually sacrificed, Isaac was not. But God never asked Isaac to sacrifice any of his sons, Jacob or Esau. God never asked Jacob to sacrifice any of his 12 sons and one daughter. God never asked Joseph to sacrifice any of his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He didn't ask David. He didn't ask Daniel. Daniel, I believe, was an eunuch. He didn't ask anybody else. And what that should tell us, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are some things that God may never ask you to do. The truth of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, is that every one of us has a cross that we will carry. A cross is a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of loss. It's a symbol of pain. It's a symbol of loneliness. It's a symbol of rejection. That's what a cross is. And Jesus explains that if anyone is going to come after me, let him or her deny himself or herself, take up your cross and follow me. That means that I ain't the only one who's got a cross to carry. Everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus or a believer will have to carry a cross. But the thing is that the cross varies from person to person. Your cross is not the same as my cross. And it is God in his own sovereignty and wisdom who decides which cross you're going to carry. But every one of us must get to a place in our relationship with God where you tell yourself that if God wants me to sacrifice anybody or anything for him, I'll be ready to do that, including my own life. Which is why I said it is a difficult one. But it's something that we must work towards. Because that is one of the ultimate signs of our allegiance and devotion to God. By the way, people sacrifice their lives for all sorts of things. Is it not true? People put their lives on the line for all sorts of things. For their country, for football, for money, for their political allegiance. They put their life on the line. There are people who have ended up in prison because of who they believed in and what they supported. Have you not seen people going on demonstration? Democracy Hub and all these other people and all of that. As they are going, they know it is dangerous. They know that sometimes one thing triggers another thing, and before you realize, you know, rubber bullets and sometimes live bullets are being shot all over the place. There are people who have died. There are people who have died because of the party that they supported during elections. There are people who allow politicians to influence them to do all kinds of things. And there are some people who openly say that, look, I'm prepared to die for this party. They are there. So people have what they are prepared to lose their lives for. So why is it such a big deal when, as Christians, we talk about being so committed and devoted to God that we are prepared to sacrifice anything and anybody for him? But ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the signs of strong allegiance and devotion to God. And it's one of the things that will help us to do our best for him. Hallelujah. Then on Sunday, I got to Job before we were rudely interrupted. You know the story of Job. Great guy, perfect, correct guy. He was very righteous in the sight of God. And God allowed Satan to touch his life. First of all, to touch the people who were dear to him, his children, and then his property, his material wealth, such that within a day he lost everything. And it was one, you know, misfortune after the other. But even though all these things happened to him, he stayed faithful to God. Do you know when a lot of Christians change? When something that is dear to them is touched, is no longer there. So they lose a dear one. Or they lose a job. Lose an opportunity. Have health challenges. They change. Then they don't want to serve God anymore. So then it is like, as long as everything is okay with me, I stand for God. As soon as something that is dear to me is no longer there, I can't commit to him. Because why did he allow it to happen? That is a question that a lot of people ask when they start going through issues. Why did God allow it to happen? Because you recognize, and rightly so, that God is able to stop all kinds of bad things from happening to you. But sometimes he doesn't stop it. He doesn't stop it. And he has deliberately not stopped it. And that's when we begin to get upset with him. There are people who give God ultimatum. I said, God, look, this marriage thing, I've been praying about it for some time. And me, I am tired. Since 2020, I've been praying, God, that I need a husband. I've kept myself. I'm not going to do bad girls things. I'm just kept myself. I still haven't said, and I'm growing. I am growing. Now I am 35. And my ex are getting rotten. When is it that this man is going to come for me to get pregnant, have a child, and all of this? And God, it's okay. Please. Then he said, God, which year is this? 2025. Is it 2025? All right. 2025. I'm giving you up to March. If by March I haven't seen things clear, the man I'm going to marry must appear. And God, don't bring me any Oklahoma man. He must be correct. Good height, broad shoulders. The thing I can't stand is big stomach. If don't bring anybody like that to me. If by the end of March I haven't seen that person, God, I'll advise myself. And then you are telling God that a word to the wise is enough. So that's what happens. Now, when Job was struck and touched by Satan, it did not affect his allegiance and devotion to God. Now, Satan thought that, okay, what he touched was outside his body. That is why he could stay faithful to God. So this time, let me touch his body. God said, go ahead and touch his body. Hey, how we love our bodies. How we love our bodies. How we love our skins. And Satan knows that very well. He said, if I touch him. In fact, what he said was that skin for skin. If I touch him. Look at what he said. Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life. And there's a lot of truth in this. God said, that's what you think. All right, I give you permission. Touch him, but don't kill him. And he afflicted him with some very wild boils. I mean, most of you have had chicken pox and measles and all of that, that you couldn't stand it and all of that. Look, chicken pox and measles, I'm sure, were like comedies compared to what Job had to go through. And he used to sit there with ashes over his body, with the broken pieces of a pot, scratching the thing, scratching. In his time, there was no calamine lotion, none of those things. And you just be sitting there. One day his wife came to him and said, Papa, your troubles are a lot. Look, let's end it. All you have to do is to curse God, and then he'll kill you. Then I'll be free. I can go and marry somebody else. But what is all this? You alone. You lost your cattle. You lost your sheep. You lost your goat. You lost your camels. You lost your children. Everything was burnt. Whatever is following you is not good. Your head is not good. And I can't stay in this marriage any longer. So just make it easier for me. Curse God and die. His response was to insult her. Verse 10 of Job chapter 2. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Then look at what he says. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? Now that's a profound statement. Should we only accept good things from God and never anything bad? The essence of what he was saying was that our lives are in his hands, and he determines what he wants to do with us. He is responsible for our lives. He's in control. So, what he wants to do with us is what he will do, because he's in charge of our lives. That's what he was explaining. And the Bible says, so in all this, Job said nothing wrong. And he maintained a strong allegiance and devotion to God. But the one that I wanted to show you is Job 13 verse 15. Look at what it says there. Job 13 verse 15. Give me the New King James Version. This is what he said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Just stay there with me. It looks like God is killing me, but I'll still trust him. That means that my allegiance and devotion to him cannot be shaken. Even though I don't understand what is happening to me, even though I can't explain why I'm going to, because to the best of my knowledge, if I assess myself and my life, I haven't done anything to deserve all these troubles that I am going through. Now, sometimes when you are going through trouble and you think about it, you realize that, okay, I did this, that. So it's no wonder that these things are happening to me. Job couldn't find anything that he had done wrong. In fact, his three friends kept insisting that you are too confident. By all means, you've done something bad, and God is punishing you. Because as a mind, when something bad is happening to somebody, and Job kept insisting that I haven't done anything to God. I haven't insulted him. I haven't offended him. I haven't turned away from him. I have maintained my allegiance and devotion to me. And I don't understand what is happening to me. But even if he kills me, yet I'll trust him. That strong allegiance and devotion, eh? So from Job, we learned the lesson that in giving our best to the Lord through our allegiance and devotion to him, we must continue to trust him, even if we do not understand what is happening in our lives. Do you think you will understand everything that you go through in this life? Do you think so? I can tell you right away that it's not everything that you'll understand. I can't explain why bad things happen to good people. People who are sincere and earnest, trying to do their best for them. I can't explain why they go through some of the troubles and the issues that they go through. Sometimes they lose a loved one. They lose a job. They are caught up in an accident. They have a health challenge. I can't explain. If you ask me, Pastor, explain to me why this is happening to me. I don't know. I really don't know. And I don't stand there pretending to have all the answers, because I don't. But when our allegiance and devotion to God is very strong, even if we don't understand what is happening to us, will still hold on to him and will continue to trust in him. Can I have an amen from somebody? The next person is David. Psalms 42 verse 1 and 2. Psalms 42 verse 1 and 2 from the New Living Translation. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? It is only somebody who has a strong feeling of love and devotion to another person who will talk in this way. So just from this statement, you can see that David felt a certain way about God. In Psalms 27 verse 4,
One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You can see his commitment, his allegiance, and his devotion even to the house of God. So you can see it towards God, and you can see it towards his house, that he felt very strongly about God, about the house of God, and about the things of God. So we learn from here that in giving our best to the Lord through our allegiance and devotion to him, our greatest desire must be for God and everything related to him. Our greatest desire must be for God and for everything related to him. Our greatest desire must be for God and everything related to him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then this same David, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2 to 4. He says, and now, give me the NIV. I don't know what it is. Give me verse 3. All right, now go back to the New Living Translation. All right. He says, and now, because of my what? My devotion to what? To the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. Verse 4. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the building. So he was putting things together for the temple of God to be built. He wanted to build it, but God said, no, your hands are too bloody. Your son Solomon will build it. And he decided that he was going to gather everything that Solomon would need to build it, including his own personal wealth and resources. And I explained to you that 112 tons of gold is equal to $8.9 billion. $8.9 billion, according to today's rates. That's how much he personally gave. Then for the silver, 262 tons of refined silver is the equivalent of $232 million. And he explained in the verse 3 that I am doing these things because of my devotion, my commitment to God, to his house, my allegiance to him and to his house. What do we learn from this? In giving our best to the Lord through our allegiance and devotion, we must be devoted to his house and support it generously as well as sacrificially. We must be devoted to God's house and support it generously as well as sacrificially. We must be devoted to the house of God and support it generously as well as sacrificially. If indeed our allegiance and devotion are directed towards God. The reason is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A person who is able to invest a lot of his money, resources, effort, time, energy, strength into the house of God, that person is proving and demonstrating that I have a steadfast faithfulness and devotion to God and to his house. So you need to get to that place where you ask yourself, how much of my resources, what I have, my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my assets? How much of what I have do I channel it into the house of God, into the kingdom of God, into the things of God? And why is it a problem for people to pump their money into advancing the kingdom of God? Because people give their money to support all kinds of funny ventures. They do. They do all the time. People pump a lot of money into their old school, old boys, old girls association. They pump a lot of money into their year groups. They pump a lot of money into politics and what have you. They do. So why is it a problem when people channel a lot of their resources into the house of God? Look, I tell you, it is a test case for all of us. And as I've explained to you before, ask yourself, assess yourself, how much of what God has given to me do I push back into building his house? Now, do you know that when the people of Israel were fleeing Egypt, God gave them favor before their Egyptian slave masters? Anything they asked them for, they gave it to them. And the Bible says that they spoiled the Egyptians. They took their gold, their diamonds, their silver, and everything. Why? Because God knew that when it was time to put up the tabernacle, he was going to need those things. Which means that God blesses us. One reason being that so that we can give out of what he has given to us. I believe in humanitarian things. Let's do them. It's all an important part of giving. But I'm talking specifically about giving to support the kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God, and to support the running and the operations of God's house, to support the building of God's house. There's a place where all of us have to get to. And that is a place where our allegiance and devotion to God will be tested. In that, how much of what God has given to us do we give back to support the building of his house? That is why giving good offerings and tithes, which is a very basic form of giving, must not be a struggle for us. May God help us all. Hallelujah. The next person is Daniel. I have 5 minutes. Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to 10. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interest. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. And usually when you are working with people and you are doing well and excel, they will be jealous and envious of you. Is that not so? All right. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. And that was paining the people even more. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Now I wonder if people start searching and scrutinizing us for faults, what would they come out with? What would they pick out? So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. That means that the only thing about Daniel that we know is so dear to him has to do with his God and service to his God. His allegiance and devotion to God and to the things of God is so great that that is the only area that we can fault him in. So what did they do? So they went to see the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors. Meanwhile, Daniel was not part of this, but they said we are all in agreement. That the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except for you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Now, if you're a king, use your head. Don't just sign things.
But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, when he realized that, so it suggests that he knew that the guys were up to something and he heard about it. He did not give his consent for it. They did it without him. When he realized that the law has actually been signed, this is what he did. He went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Now, this was the thing that the people knew they could get him on. And they realized that this guy, his devotion and allegiance to God is very extreme. So if we want to trap him, that is where we can get him. But Daniel, even though he knew that a law had been signed and his life was going to be on the line, he was endangering himself. He decided that nobody is going to stop me from doing what I believe I must do. Nobody is going to take me away from my God, my allegiance and my devotion to him. We see a similar thing with the 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This time, King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image, gave an instruction. When you hear the trumpets, the pipes, and all the other instruments, everybody should stop what they are doing and bow down and worship this golden image of myself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We won't do. We shan't do. We won't worship anything of yours, Bia." Then the Lapor people, they are always there. They went to tell the king that these guys that you believe so much in, they didn't bow down. The king called them and said, "Guys, is it true?" They said, "Okay, maybe you woke up at the wrong side of your bed. You were not thinking correctly. That's why you didn't do it. Another opportunity is there for you. When you hear the sound of the trumpets and the pipes, just bow down and worship." Their response to the king is that, "We won't waste our time to talk a lot about this issue. We want you to understand, we won't bow." "We won't bow. We won't." And he said, they told him that God is able to save us. This is also in Daniel chapter 3, verse 8 to 18. God is able to save us and protect us. But this thing there, it just freaks me too much. They said that, "But even if he doesn't save us, we won't change our minds. Our devotion and allegiance is still to him. We won't bow. We know that he can save us. We know that he will save us. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't affect our allegiance and devotion to him." Daniel and his 3 brothers were prepared to die for what they believed in. And the lesson we learn from there is that we must choose God over every other person. If our allegiance and devotion are to him and are to the things of God, we must choose God above any other person, over any other person in our lives. Hallelujah. We end. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is another example. In Luke 1:38, when the angel came to tell her that this is the plan of God for you. Look, Mary had plans though. She had plans that she was going to marry her sweetheart, her chonchko. His name was Joseph. She loved him. I'm sure that he meant so much to her. She had kept herself all these years for Joseph. And she was imagining the life that she was going to have with him, only for her to get an angelic visitation and tell her that God has a different plan for you. Something is going to come, going to happen to you. You are going to become pregnant. When she had pregnant, said, "Hey, pregnant? How?" Said that the Holy Spirit will make you pregnant. And she knew the implication of that, because everybody knew that she was single. She was not yet married. What will people say when they see her with the pregnancy? And in those days, if you are engaged to somebody and you get pregnant and everything, and they catch you, they kill you. You are stoned to death. Which is why when Joseph found out, he tried to see, he thought about what he could do to save Mary. Because he knew that if this thing comes out in a certain way, they'll kill her. That's how much he also loved her. After the angel had finished speaking to her, her response in Luke 1:38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. may everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. In other words, I have surrendered myself to God and to his plans for me. I had other plans. I had other intentions. I had other designs. There were things I wanted to do. But I can see that God wants something else for my life. Because of my allegiance and devotion to him, I surrender to his plans for my life. That's another sign of our allegiance and devotion to God. Then the last person is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Galatians 2:20. He says, New King James Version, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I'm sold out to Christ. In Philippians 3:8, he says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite wisdom of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting everything else as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Then in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. What he was saying was that Jesus is the center of my life. He's the focus of my life. He's the focus of everything that I'm doing now. He said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's the focus of my life. And when your allegiance and devotion is towards God, he becomes the center and the focus of your life. And ladies and gentlemen, this year, if we're going to give our best to the Lord, then that's the place we're going to have to get to. That in our allegiance and devotion to him, we must make Christ the center of our lives and the focus of everything that we are doing. So there's a song we sing as we close. E flat. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. Oh, from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Nothing else, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus. You are the center of it all. At the center of it all. Oh yes, at the center of it all. Let us pray. So Jesus, may you be the center of our lives. Till we get to that place where you are our focus. And you are our everything. We can never say that we have given our best or we are giving our best to you. May your Holy Spirit help us to actually make you the focus of our lives, where everything is about you and everything is because of you, Jesus. May we stand for you. May we live for you. May we be prepared to sacrifice anything and every person for you. Even if we have to be in the minority in so doing, may we be prepared to be the exception instead of the norm. I pray for all of us that this year, as we are committed to giving our best to you, may we see real progress in our lives in the area of our allegiance and devotion. And may we give nothing but our very best to you. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say amen. Say amen again.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.